Oh, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and, of course, your host, Link Flores. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. If it's not quite Thanksgiving where you are, it will be soon, hopefully. This episode is super duper late because, as you all know, today is Wednesday, November 26, 2025, which means it's literally the night before Thanksgiving. So I have been running around like a chicken with head and 1 foot cut off, trying to stay above water, trying to get things ready for the holidays, having the fam come over. Hopefully I get to see my mom for a little bit too. Travel during the holidays is hectic for anyone. So I just don't want to put my mom through a lot. It's going to be crazy, but we're going to make sure we have a decent spread for everybody. We are going to have a good time. And let's just talk about Thanksgiving real quick. We'll get into Thanksgiving first, but we're going to talk about, first of all, our lovely subscribers and followers and friends and Patreons. The listeners in general, thank you so incredibly much. I'm watching the numbers trend up on this thing. It's crazy how much you guys are doing, and I really appreciate it. I also want to mention it's in my description. It may not come up often during the podcast, but I am also affiliated with an energy company, energy supplement company called Aimbot here in the city. And I got my first ever order this past week. Super excited about that. Thank you very much for ordering Aimbot Energy. You guys have seen me drink the energy supplement. It's like an energy beverage supplement that goes into like a gallon of water, a half gallon of water. That stuff is fantastic. You see me try the gummies on stream, and I've tried them in my own personal life off stream, and they are fantastic. Just like energy drinks, they're not going to be the super tastiest thing in the world, but these actually taste way better than most I've ever tried. I think it's maybe just me, though. I have a thing about, like, the caffeine that's in stuff, or guarana or something. Some ingredient that's in some of these things just has like a weird taste to me, because it's not bad. It's just like, I taste that and it's weird, but otherwise it's fine. Especially if you get the liquid supplement. Oh man, that's actually really nice. There's a blue raspberry flavor that I tried and it's delightful. You mix it in like a nice, even quantities, I think I did like a third of the vial that it comes in for like a half a gallon of water. And man, it's fantastic. And it works. It works. It's not jittery energy. It's just clean throughout the day. So give it a try. My links are in the description of the podcast. If you're curious, you can check it out there and get yourself a little change off for the first order. Now, let's get down to business. First of all, we know it's Thanksgiving coming up. The holiday season in general. We'll start with there. Times are tough for everyone. And people are a little on edge. As always during the holidays, it feels like even more so. Over the last couple of years, especially the last year or so, try to operate like everybody else also got something going on too. Like, one of the things I've heard the rise of this particular phrase of main character energy has been popping up a lot. And I think that people are applying this incorrectly sometimes. I think sometimes people are looking at it as like, somebody who navigates the world and society and, their relationships and whatnot as though, they're the main character, in their story. And that's true because you're the main character in your story and that's fine. I think sometimes people think that that's what that means. But I don't really think that that's the case. I think main character energy really is when you operate like you're the main character in everyone's story. And that's a really selfish attitude to apply to life in general. It's also really fucking dumb because you're not, somebody's like, oh, I wonder what so-and-so is thinking about me. Trust me, they're probably not. It's not that they don't care about you or anything like that. It's just they got stuff going on too. They're their own people. So they are the main character in their story. And so they're not really checking for you. They don't hate you. They just ain't got time to sit here and think about all the stuff you be doing. But you have to remember that we're all at least a side character in somebody else's story. So carry yourself accordingly, man. A little humility, a little kindness, a little grace goes a very, very long way. So remember to operate and move that way. When you're walking around in the stores, when you're, you know, dealing with, you know, friends and family or coworkers, when you're driving in particular, please, you have to start, people have to start to learn to drive like other people have things to do. It's so infuriating is probably the closest word I can find that isn't mean-spirited. But yeah, I'm gonna encourage you guys to try this. If you're gonna be out in public every day, take like 2 minutes, 120 seconds, and act as though everybody else behind you has something more important to do than you. And get the hell out of the way, please. You know, move with a little bit of situational awareness. You know what I mean? Other people exist around you and they got stuff going on too. And if you don't want to end up in a road rage incident or show up on the news for getting stomped out at Black Friday sale or something like that, like, act like you've been here before. You know what I mean? Like, people walk around with this thumb up the nose energy all the time. And it's just like, you got to do better. You got to do better. As society, we have to do better. We got to make the extra effort here. And I'm not saying that you have to put other people necessarily ahead of you all the time, although that is a very kind and caring way to operate in the world. You don't have to make sure everybody gets theirs before you get yours. Sometimes you got to take care of self too, but you know, for 120 seconds out of each day in your, especially when you're out in the public or when you're, you know, even when you're dealing with like friends and family, you're hosting a party or a gathering or whatever, peel off like 10, 15, 20, 30 seconds of your time and act like other people matter as well. You know what I mean? It could be as simple as like making that lane change an extra, you know, instead of taking like 10 seconds to merge lanes, make that lane change take 3-4 seconds. You know, get the hell over. You're at a house party or whatever, and you see the toilet paper roll is low, replace that shit. You know, there's like only one turkey leg left and you're still hungry. Ask if anybody else has had a chance and if they don't mind if you take it. You know, it doesn't take a lot, doesn't take long, just every day, just take 120 seconds, 2 minutes. Just take 2 minutes and act like other people exist and they also have priorities and things they want to get done, all right? I think that'll help. Even if you just do that little bit, that might help make the holidays a little bit smoother for everybody. And I know a lot of people are going to be traveling, flying, taking buses, trains, driving, you know, horse-drawn cart, whatever it is. You have to go. You have to move with expediency. Act like life has a purpose for you still. You know, get out the way. Like, if you ain't got no purpose, be on the sidelines. You know what I mean? Cruise over into the median and look at your phone. Don't do that shit while you're driving, especially during the holidays. I mean, always and ever, forever, but especially during the holidays. So many people are out there. They're frustrated. They're rushing. They're preoccupied. You know, God forbid, somebody might actually be inebriated, which is terrible. If you see somebody that's behind the wheel that's driving recklessly and drunk, you definitely need to do what you do to report them so that everybody else on the roadways is safe. But you gotta go. You gotta go. You just have to. You gotta make a move. And we all know if our car ain't worth anything. You know what I mean? Like, we all know. Hey man, I've had this hoopty for like the last 15, 20 years. I'm just riding the miles off of it until I can save up to buy a new car. That's great. You and your hoopty need to be in the right-hand lane and get the fuck out of my way. Sincerely, please and thank you, everybody. Amen. All right. So that takes care of that. And also, we're going to talk about like the Thanksgiving holiday in particular and holidays in general. As we've watched the internet become more prolific and, you know, it's more expansive. Everybody seems to have access to it. And I mean, not everybody, but there's a significant portion of the human population that has access to the internet and information. We know that Thanksgiving isn't, you know, that's not when the pilgrims and the Native Americans sat down to share a lovely meal together in gratitude and thanks. We know that the story of Thanksgiving that we were sold as kids in school is woefully different and painfully more tragic than it ever has been. So if you're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving like we are, drop the bullshit. You know what I mean? And especially for the kids' sake, drop the bullshit and say, hey, what we are celebrating right here is not some, you know, fairy tale that we were sold in, you know, third grade social studies. We're celebrating right now the bounty that we're grateful for. And the bounty is not just the food on the table or whatever. It's the friends and the family. It's the connections that we have. It's the ability to live like in like one of the most affluent countries on the planet. And even if you can hear my voice, you're probably doing better than about at least half of other people on the planet. You know, do you have a place to live? If you have clothes to wear, you have food to eat, you're not freezing or burning to death, you know, when you're walking around. If you have at least access to healthcare, even if you can't afford the shit. If you have a vehicle, you know, if you have access to like clean running water, like you're doing way better than so many other people on the planet. That's what you can be grateful for. That's what you can be thankful for. Make this holiday about that and about being present with one another. You know, this, if you're listening to this podcast today and it's Thanksgiving, put the phone down. It'll wait. It'll keep till tomorrow. If you're listening to it on Wednesday night, hey, remember, put your phones down. Be present with one another. Get together, watch the football game, talk some smack, maybe watch a movie. I know one of the things we like to do sometimes during the Thanksgiving or Christmas holidays is get together and watch either the Harry Potter movies or Star Wars is a big thing for me forever. But yeah, be engaged with one another as well. You know, take some time to actually spend talking to one another, sharing with one another, laughing, you know, recounting good memories, making some new ones. That could be the thing to be thankful for. And be thankful for this podcast, because I almost didn't do this thing today. But yeah, Thanksgiving, man. I got to get a ham in the slow cooker tonight. I'm making some cornbread dressing, and I'm not sure if I'm going to make a green bean casserole. I'm debating it, because the green bean casserole I have to make takes a lot of extra ingredients and time, so I can't just put canned stuff together and be like, there you go. I got it. It's really not that simple. I'm oversimplifying it, but mine takes significantly longer to make than the one my wife would make, which is fantastic from what I understand, but I can't eat it. So I'm debating whether or not I need to make mine as well. But yeah, I'm already going to be doing a ham, which I got to get started in. I'm going to wait until about 10 o'clock tonight and put the ham in there and get her going. And then, you know, I'm making some macaroni and cheese most likely, which that seems to go over pretty well. That's a dish that I've just recently started making because I found like a lot of lactose and gluten-free ingredients that don't taste terrible. Because it's weird, like a lot of lactose and gluten-free stuff just doesn't taste quite the same. But I've been slowly fine-tuning and perfecting the products and the flavor profiles that seem to work out really well. And the mac and cheese has been kind of a banger, I'm not going to lie. My mac and cheese is starting to slap quite a bit. So if you're lucky enough to eat some of this mac and cheese, thank you and you're welcome. I mean that from the bottom of my soul, because I promise you, I sometimes make this shit just for me and the wife. And it's a lot, so I'd be struggling to eat it, but I hurt myself trying to eat that macaroni and cheese, baby. But yeah, and also, like I said, be grateful for the people who are making the food. If you ain't had to make nothing, count yourself lucky. You know what I mean? If you're eating something that somebody else made, like, hey, man, ask them if they want the last little piece, last, little plate or whatever. Put it off to the side, you know, show a little respect to the people who host, the people who cook the stuff. And I'm thinking that the real thing is just like a little bit of grace goes a long way. You know, a little bit of gentility and thoughtfulness goes a long way. Like even today, I sent a prize out to a buddy of mine who earned it back in like early November. Longer than that. It was September, I think. And it just dragged ass forever. But I finally got it to him today. And I'm like, oh, dude, it's been rough. And he's like, dude, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I'm like, you know what? More of that, please. Like, if somebody gets you a gift, you don't have to write a long flowery poem or anything like that. You don't even have to reciprocate in kind necessarily. But just saying thank you. Like, if you get a gift from somebody, like, hey, man, I got that gift that you sent me. Thank you. I appreciate it. That actually helps a lot. You know, it makes people feel noticed and seen and appreciated. And that's not a bad thing. There's so much bad news in the world. We're going to talk about that shit in a minute, too. But, I mean, this is a great opportunity to start putting some of those wheels in motion, and then to remind yourself that the holiday seasons are a great time to ramp that up. But that's a thing that you can do all year long. It don't cost you nothing any other day of the year. You know what I mean? You don't have to give gifts, but you can be a present to somebody else. Sometimes it's just by being present. But yeah, keep that in mind going through stuff. We were talking about that the other day, like with Twitch, because sometimes people just come into Twitch chats and stuff like that, which is fine. But they just pop in, lurk, and then be done. And then just, if you don't know what lurking is, it's the same thing as like going to a party and then sitting in the corner, not saying anything to anybody. That's kind of what it is. Imagine if somebody walked into your house, you're having a house party, and they just walked in and just like didn't really speak. They just kind of waved and then just sat in the corner the entire time, you know, on their phone or reading a book or something like that, or, you know, just sitting there sipping down drinks. And then they just left at one point. Didn't say bye. Just was like deuces and just walked out. That would make you feel some kind of way. I think that we forget that in digital spaces as well, that's a little bit of that grace, a little bit of that thoughtfulness can go a long way. You know, I try not to pop into anybody's chat without at least saying something before I go, like, I have to lurk, but I wanted to pop in, say hello. I'll come back when I can and say what's up. But I got X, Y, or Z thing going on, especially during the holidays. It's tough, but it doesn't hurt to just leave like a literally like one sentence saying, hey, I'm going to be lurking, but I wanted to let you know I'm here. Appreciate you. Bye. How hard is that? That's what comments on the podcast are for. You can be like, hey, man, love your show. Keep it going. Deuces. Simple. See what I mean? It don't take a lot either. Really does not take a lot to make somebody's day. I don't know. It's crazy. Oh, I saw something the other day too, thinking about Twitch chat. I was in somebody else's stream. I'm not going to say who. But in this person's stream, they had another individual there who was typing every sentence by capitalizing the first like word, and especially proper nouns and stuff like that. Everything read like it was a book title. It was, okay, everybody's got their own thing. I get it. But for some reason, it read like, when I was reading it, I kept anticipating because I saw every word that was there capitalized. I thought that they were like sharing like a title of a game or a movie or a book or whatever. I'm reading this thing like they're actually doing that, but all they were doing just saying a regular sentence. It'd be like, how are you doing today? And every single word would be capitalized. It's not a move I would make. I'm just saying it's weird. Anybody else seen that before? Weird Twitch chat behavior always makes me go crazy. It doesn't make me mad, but it makes me go like, who is this person? Like, how are you allowed to have access to the internet? Like, what are you doing, sir? Ma'am? They? Whoever you are. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is that? It just feels weird. Imagine if somebody typed you an entire letter. Imagine if it was their resume and the first letter of every word was capitalized. Bro, you would not get a job ever. Somebody be like, this person is an insane person and we need to call the authorities. You know what I mean? But like, for some reason, when it's on the internet, everybody's cool with it. I don't know. It was a weird thing that caught me. And I'm like, who is this? Who is this people? I got to know who they is, because something about it is just weird to me. It is kind of funny, but it is kind of messed up. Like, it's whatever, but I don't know. Just weird stuff. I think I only noticed this because I stream on Twitch. And like tonight I was supposed to stream, but there's so much going on for the holiday. I might not get to it this weekend at all, actually. But who knows? We'll see. But yeah, man, it's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. I guess there's a weird behavior that I saw. I'm like, what is that? Who does that? I kind of want to know, but I kind of don't. I'd be worried that, like, if I found out who that person was, then they would also get to know me. You know what I mean? It's like that whole like idea of like in like, you know, in D&D or fantasy realms and stuff like that, knowing someone's true name gives them power over them and vice versa. So I felt like if I reached out and touched this person and was like, hey man, what is your deal? What are you about? Then they would be able to reach back and touch me. And I'm like, I don't know where your hands have been. I know they've at least been on the keyboard and on the shift key, but outside of that, no. I know how wild that is. You know, it's crazy. Weird stuff, man. Weird stuff going through my head. It's just all, like, that's what this podcast is. You should know by now. If you've been listening for at least a couple of weeks, you should know that everything that comes out of my brain is weird. It's like the news is weird. Let speedruns come to stupid stuff in the news because I don't want to dwell on it too much. J.D. Vance's motorcade. One of the vehicles in the motorcade struck another officer on the roadside and they just drove off. They said there was like emergency support vehicles behind the motorcade, but like everybody else just was like, meow. And I'm like, yo. And they were like, I guess he was on the road for a while because passersby were attending to him before the emergency vehicle showed up. I'm like, how far back were these emergency vehicles? That's weird. And then it was not a mention of it anywhere ever from the White House, from J.D. Vance himself, from the press secretary, nothing. Crickets. That was bizarre. But again, we were talking about being thoughtful and mindful. This is the self-centered kind of people that, you know, they allegedly 75 million Americans wanted in office. This is what we're doing. Bizarre. Like the other weird stuff, like, you know, the Coast Guard removing the hate symbol statute from swastikas and nooses. There's a downgrade in getting people violated for sharing that kind of stuff on social media or having it in their, you know, in their barracks or whatever, or on their bodies or in, you know, interactions. We are seriously on a slide. I hope that that bounces back. I can only hope that there's more pushback on this kind of stuff. But you never know. You never know. It like I said, super weird, these people. I don't know what to make of them anytime I see them. And I think people just, that kind of energy is popping off. Like that Texas trooper, all right? So this Texas trooper shouldered some South Carolina Gamecocks players on live TV. And all they did was just say, oh, he just can't work the games on, you know, he can't work the games anymore. Bro, that dude is he's a menace. He menaced two, you know, basically young black men who are students because he felt some kind of attitude. The other thing that I didn't catch when you watched, if you get a chance to watch that video, you'll probably see it all over social media if you haven't already. There's another guy that just kind of walks in front of this particular player whose name escapes me at the moment. Let me see if I can dredge it up from my crusty memory. No, I couldn't dredge it up. So I just went and looked it up real quick. Gentleman's name is Nick Harbor. Scored an 80-yard reception in the second quarter, ran into the tunnel. And was limping because I think he pulled a hamstring and muscle a little bit. And as he's walking back out from the tunnel, this Texas trooper just basically shoulder checks him and another player. And they're like, oh, well, we sent him home. You sent him home? What, like he had like a sick note from mom? That was it? That was the scope of it? I'm like, yo, you just let that dude just, you know, ram these two young guys and then it's just like, that's it? I guarantee you that guy does even more horrible shit when nobody's watching him. Body cam isn't working or whatever. Then he'd just be doing all kind of felonious shit to people. I would not be surprised, if I'm being quite honest. I would not be surprised at all to know that that was what happened. And the funky thing about it was, if you try to look for his name, they've scrubbed it from a lot of stuff. Like, they don't want you to know who this guy is. But you should. If you find out who he is, you should definitely say his name somewhere so people know who he is. But they just call him the Texas Trooper. That's it. Like, I know I've seen somebody that called him out. I'm like, yeah, this is who he is. But he needs to be suspended. And he also probably should be removed from duty. Put that boy on desk duty. He ain't got no reason being out there in the world. He's going to fuck around and kill somebody with that attitude. Just over a football game? That's just over a football game. That got nothing to do with, like, if he has to chase somebody down, if he has to pull over a suspect who's being a little bit, you know, a little bit snarky or, you know, maybe just got a little bit of an attitude or whatever, and he can't control himself, then they got a problem. And that dude gets to carry a gun and a badge. And we're just supposed to be like, it's fine for him to just act like that. I don't like that at all. I'm like, again, that's one of those things where people get emboldened because they've watched how this society in general, but also this administration in particular, has kind of moved and acted. So people get loud. I mean, it is good that they removed him from the games. They didn't suspend him. They didn't fire him as of this recording that I know of. But you're starting to see that kind of stuff. It's coming around. People are getting some get back. Like this kid, Zach Siegel. I mentioned him the other day. He's a college Republican from Boston University who was actually born and raised in London and then came over here to go to college. That's allegedly there's some mystery as to, you know, his actual origin, but the allegedly what I've been hearing is he was born and raised in London. He comes over here, like his parents were, I guess, Americans, and he was like basically like a naturalized British citizen. And then he comes over here, and then he decides, because he's a young college Republican, he's a college Republican president at Boston University. So he started making phone calls about this Austin, Massachusetts car wash, saying that these people were criminals, that he was tired of watching them there, and he'd been calling ICE for months to arrest these people who were just there working. Just working. And guess what? To a person, from what I understand, every one of them has legal status to be in the United States. No criminal records, just regular-ass people working under legal pretenses, doing their jobs, and just then ICE comes and scoops up 9 of them. Now, as of now, so far, 6 of those 9 people have been released from ICE custody. 3 of them, however, at the time of this recording, were still in custody. This Zach Siegel kid, the lawyer for these individuals who were arrested, made a very good point. He's like, he says these people don't deserve to be here. They're taking American jobs. Well, he's taking a spot in an American university from an actual American student. I'm like, ooh. But people are after him. They're on his ass. So he's not really under threat or anything like that, but everybody's hounding this kid. And good, because screw him. If you look him up, it's Zach Siegel. It looks like Seagal, like Steven Seagal. But yeah, he just looks like one of them kids. He looks like the kind of kid who would do sneaky, underhanded shit to aggravate people. And then when somebody snapped off on him, because nobody saw him do it, he'd be like, teacher, oh, Jimmy hit me. He's like, but you don't know, the whole time he's been like flicking thumbtacks at the back of Jimmy's head with the, you know, with the rubber band. Jimmy's like, I got bloody marks all over the back of my head from this fool shooting me with tech. Well, I didn't see that, but I saw you. He seems like that kind of asshole. So I hope that he gets exactly what is supposed to be coming to him, whatever that is. I'm not here to say, but I'm here to say that he deserves it. At least that. And again, like I said, you get bold, it's going to get real expensive and weird for people. For example, the indictments against Letitia James and James Comey have both been thrown out right now. Now, there's no reason to say that the Department of Justice, as such as you can call it, might not try to represent these charges at a later date. But guess what? The prosecutor who filed them was illegally acting in that particular office. And so those indictments were null and void from the start. They should never have even been brought. Womp, womp. Sucks to suck. I'm not even going to go into the Trump and Bill Clinton photo. I just want you guys to know, I saw the photo that was released. Some people were putting it through like various filters and, you know, photo editing programs to see like had there been artifacts or leftover like residual pixelation or something like that to show that the photo had been altered. A lot of them are coming back. It's like, nah, this is legit. We don't know what's happening. We can't really be sure that these two people are the two people that everybody's been talking about and rumoring about. But the photograph itself appears to be pretty legit, which is worrisome to say the very least. It's very bizarre. But again, like I said, we got some weird ass people out there. the Trump's Turkey Day pardoning. They might see this because I got to watch this too. This is like the presidential, one of the presidential perks, I guess, or, you know, one of the little fun things about the office of the president is like every year at Thanksgiving, you have one turkey that's given amnesty to not be killed and just to live out its days. Now, who knows if that actually happens? We assume that it does. But he was supposed to be pardoning 2 turkeys. One of them didn't show up. Everybody's like, uh-oh, that's not a good look. And then he goes off, as he usually does, into his weird diatribes about, you know, illegals and criminals and, you know, the Democrats are ruining our country and blah, 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 blah. Dude's weird, man. And the weirdness like that he spits comes out in other people, but they can't pull it off because he's the president, which is messed up that he can get away with it. But he ain't gonna get away with it for long. Trust me, it's not gonna happen. It will eventually come back out. Though there's another story too, and I don't even have to print this up. You could type in, I think it's Boston Police Commissioner and apartment building, I think, is one of the things I found it under. Anyway, in the city of Boston, this lady is coming into her apartment building, and she sees a man opening the door next to her apartment. He's a black man, and so she confronts him, saying, like, excuse me, do you belong here? And he's like, yeah, I just moved in last week. Why? What do you want? Why do you want to know? She's like, because you don't look like you belong here. And she continues to harangue this man about, like, well, I think I'm going to call the police because you look suspicious. And he immediately fires back, you mean I look black? And without missing a beat, she goes, maybe. Woo! Boy, some of y'all racists out here getting real bold. You smelling yourself a little too much. Sucks to suck for her, because it just so happened her brand new black neighbor, wait for it. I wish I had a drum roll thing like, was the newly elected Boston Police Commissioner. Oh, of all the people to try to racially profile and call the police on, you got to get, he's basically going to be the dude who picks up the phone. She dials the number 911. I want to talk to the police commissioner. And then his phone rings in the hallway when he's standing right there next to her. Yes, ma'am. How can I help you? Oh, you hate to see it, but you love to watch it go down. Oh, my God. So racism about to get real expensive around the United States. So here's what happened. When the shit hit the fan, they found out about this. Her landlord revoked her lease. It was like, absolutely not. Two, her job fired her. Three, boy, this is gonna be a really blue Christmas for this lady. She not only lost her job, lost her home, but then she got sued by the Boston Police Commissioner, who would have been her neighbor, for $120,000 in damages and legal fees. Oh, I thought I was getting the PlayStation 5 for Christmas. I'm sorry, kids. Eat your beans. We have to move from under the bridge before the street cleaners come. Pile. Sucks to suck, lady. Maybe next time, lead with the empathy instead of your bigotry. Usually works out better. I'm just saying. I know we get excited for, like, this whole Trump and Mamdani visit, too. You know, when you watch people have to kind of, like, eat crow and backpedal and moonwalk on all kind of shit. I'm worried that, like, Trump is actually... I've heard this statement put out before, and I feel like when I watched it, I'm like, I feel like that might be it. Like, the whole thing with Mamdani where he's, like, smiling at him and looking at him all cheerful and this and the, I don't know that Trump, like, got any kind of hoodoo magic worked on him or anything like that. I think what he thinks is, like, I'm going to make it look like you're being mean to me while I'm being really, really nice to you. And then people will feel bad for me if you do something that they don't like. They'll go, well, remember he was supposedly, Trump was so nice to this guy. Why is this guy so mean to Donald Trump? And you're just going to normalize, you know, the authoritarian slash fascistic kind of approach that the regime has taken. And I do call it a regime, actually. I keep calling it administration, but I really mean it's a regime. It feels that way. And they want to try to, like, normalize that. You know, oh, look, they're so mean to us. Look at how they talk to us. Look at how they treat us. Aren't we being nice to you? Meanwhile, your world is crumbling around you because Mamdani's not even the mayor of New York yet. He's the mayor-elect. Eric Adams, Trump's little, you know, bosom buddy, is still the mayor for now. And people are going to forget about that. And they're going to keep running up on Mamdani and acting like it's, you know, everything that's going on is his fault. He's like, bro, I don't even have a pencil in that office yet. So what you talking about? So we got to make sure we keep pushing this kind of, you know, hey, man, don't try to sweep this under the rug. Don't try to, you know, put some lipstick on this pig. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. Y'all were messing up a lot. And then you messed up a lot. Then you got mad. And then you, now that you're in your feelings and stuff, now you want to come back. And, you know, Democrats, you know, moderate Republicans, or, you know, not super conservative Republicans, independents and whatnot. You remember those 8 senators and whatnot? Go holler at them. Don't come at us. We're trying to be chill over here. Go and talk to them. Talk to your boy Trump. Talk to the rest of the knuckleheads in his administration. Because trust and believe, soon all this stuff is going to come out and it's going to be a rough time for them. Ooh, I can't wait. I do hate the way that, like, you know, like new major news outlets do spin a lot of this stuff, or they try to, like, you know, basically add like a couple spoonfuls of sugar to make the medicine go down. But we know, and we're starting to see now, like, you know, major news media outlets can't be trusted. I mean, I don't think anybody really ever put their faith fully into any one side of the political spectrum. Some people do. I'm sure there's some, but like most people kind of go like, there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors at work in everything that we see when it comes to like mass media. So maybe we should take all this stuff with like a big nugget of salt. But yeah, I'm watching them talk about economic reports and stuff like that. The numbers are trending upwards. Are they? It's only because people are buying stuff because it's the holiday and they feel compelled to. I don't think that there's necessarily any good news behind that spending. It means that people are making some decisions to try to, you know, keep members of the family happy, raise some holiday spirit and stuff like that. But they're trying to go broke, trying to make sure people can enjoy something out of the year of ridiculous and bizarre and sometimes outright appalling news. Like, at least we have a nice Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, fine. Okay. You know, maybe we won't get all the stuff we wanted for Christmas. Maybe we won't have the biggest Thanksgiving dinner that we were hoping for, but we'll at least have each other, which I think is ultimately more important and ultimately better for us as a society. It might actually be a good time to start paring things down a little bit, you know, moonwalk some of these expectations of all kinds of crazy spending and gift giving and stuff like that, just for the sake of like throwing money at emotion. You know what I mean? Just show me you love me, do some stuff with me, hang with me, chill with me. You know, meet a need or something like that. But I don't need all the presents and stuff. I mean, you also want to be somebody that people want to do that for, too. There's been a handful of people you'd be like, I don't know if James really needs a gift this year. James been kind of fucking up a lot. You never know, man. If you're James out there, and I'm just sorry that I caught your name. It just struck my brain. But, you know, also I'm looking at the James Comey and Letitia James, so it just kind of stuck in my head. So it's nothing against any Jameses out there. I'm sure you're all very lovely people. Who knows? I mean, the holidays are weird for everybody anyway, so I don't know. I'm just hoping that things kind of smooth out, mellow out a little bit. Sorry, I just had like a little brain cramp here. Just looking at some of the other stuff that I wanted to remind you guys of. We're going to get into sports here in just a little bit to cap this off, but I wanted to make one last announcement. Not really an announcement, but just a mention of a notable person in history. And this is a really important bit of history that doesn't get talked about often enough. But everybody's kind of, I think one of the things that kind of brought it more into the forefront, which is I'm thankful for, was the HBO television show, The Watchmen, kind of highlighted a little bit more about the Tulsa Race Massacre, where the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was once called Black Wall Street, was firebombed and burned to the ground. And dozens, probably hundreds, I think, at the time, of citizens of that town who were living there peacefully, just living their lives. Now, you didn't want us in your white society. We made our own little black town, and they killed them for it. But one of the oldest living survivors, actually the oldest living survivor of that massacre, Viola Ford Fletcher, passed away at 111 years old on Monday. And she was part of that. She was living in Tulsa during the time when this happened. And it was just another thing that just kind of like people were calling her Mother Fletcher. And they're recounting some of the stories about how they knew her or met her and like how she was a joyful human being, even with that horrible, horrible, a horrible incident happening. It was just like, 100 years of them having to deal with this. In June of last year, this is how great Oklahoma is. The Oklahoma Supreme Court dismissed a lawsuit from the survivors arguing that the city should be compensating them for the damages of what happened during the massacre. And they have been trying for, like I said, over 100 years to get some get back from, you know, Tulsa. And Oklahoma Supreme Court was like, nah. So, I mean, she was 7 when this happened. Imagine being 7 years old. Having to deal with people throwing, you know, Molotov cocktails through windows, shooting people in the streets. And you're 7? You're a kid? I mean, what's your biggest worry each day at 7 years old? And that's what this lady had to live with. But I hope that she's gone home, but I hope that she had a beautiful life aside from that. But rest in peace, Viola Ford Fletcher. And I hope that her name never gets erased from the history books. I hope we all remember that. And remember the Tulsa Massacre. I would love to learn more about it, too. It's one of those very pivotal moments in Black history that people hear about and some people know about, but no one ever talks enough about, and no one ever explores the true history behind it. Because it is heartbreaking and it's harrowing. But it's one of those things I actually want to say that I'm kind of thankful for, because seeing how people could be so horribly maligned and mistreated, but still come out and survive and go on to live long and beautiful lives. It speaks to the character of those individuals. On both sides of the equation, honestly. And I feel like it's one of those moments where, you know, we can learn how to live in dignity and grace and peace and harmony, even when hateful shit happens to us, you know? So I hope that I hope that we get a little bit of an extra lesson about that today. Let's switch gears here a little bit. I'm not trying to drag the podcast down. Let's talk about some good stuff, because a lot of good stuff happened. I was mad at CBS for a little bit because they had this intro at the beginning of the Jacksonville Jaguars game this week when they were taking on the Arizona Cardinals. And I predicted last week that they were going to win. I thought it was going to end up being a battle of defenses. And not to be, you know, not too on the nose with it, it was, I mean, how do I say this without being snippy? I mean, it was like a battle of defenses, but it was also like a battle against the referees too. Like I said, the refs on this season, man, the refs are on one and they just won't let anything slide. And when they do let something slide, then they turn around and penalize the other team unnecessarily. But that's like an old trope. We got kind of familiar with that, football fans. But yeah, CBS was on that bullshit. Their first intro message was like, remember last week when Jacksonville lost 135 yards in penalties? They gave up 3 sacks and an interception. What you forgot to say, CBS Sports, was that Jacksonville won that game against the Chargers. They gave up almost a football field in the third in penalties, got 3 sacks and an interception, and they still beat the Chargers 35-6. How about you run tell that? How about you run tell that? Oh, we only do that? Okay, that's cool. I got you. I see what you're talking about. I see what you're on. Yeah. CBS could pick one and suck it. But that's all to say, Jacksonville won. Congratulations to the Cardiac Cats coming out in a battle of defenses. Like I said, 35-6. Sorry, that was like the week before. They won again this week, though. Against the Arizona Cardinals. I got caught up on my stuff. They came out 27-24. Tight game, but Jacksonville managed to pull it out in the end, and that's all you can really hope for, I think, at some point. You just kind of got to be like, man, you take them where you can get them. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be tight. It's going to be a good one. And that's also the same that could be said of the Chicago Bears versus the Pittsburgh Steelers this past week. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Bears, I guess it must have been a slugout, because I was watching the live score updates because I couldn't watch the freaking game. Thanks, YouTube. But yeah, the Bears managed to eke one out 31-28 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. It had to have been a tough game. I didn't get to watch it, but I would have gladly loved to have seen that game. It's probably for the best that I don't watch. Like I said, sometimes I feel like I watch my favorite teams and they get stomped when I do. I'm like, no! I didn't walk out of the LA Chargers game, though. I was like, I'm not watching this. It was so tight at the end. I'm like, No, it wasn't tight. It was just frustrating. I'm like, I can't do this to my spirit. I got to leave. So I left. And then I think I did the same thing for Arizona. I'm like, no. I can't watch this. But yeah. Anyway, good times. And this coming week, ooh, boy, you're going to love to see it. Pittsburgh is facing off against the Buffalo Bills. Here's the thing. Pittsburgh, they're hosting the game. They're 6-5 right now. Buffalo 7-4. Pittsburgh has a fairly 50-50 win ratio when it comes to playing at home, whereas the Buffalo Bills got like a not too indecent 40% or so away win game rating. That's fairly solid. So I don't know. This one's tough, and I hate to say this, but I think the Bills are going to take this one. Just barely, But I think they're going to manage to sneak this one from underneath the Steelers. I don't know, though. I haven't checked injury reports or anything like that. I don't really get that deep into it. I'm just going off my feelings and some of the things I've seen from the league this year. And I think the Buffaloes just got just enough gumption to get this one. Now, Jacksonville versus Tennessee, on the other hand, that one's coming up on Sunday as well. And I'm throwing this to Jacksonville. Tennessee is 1-10 in the league right now. They almost always lose at home. While Jacksonville's 7-4 in the league right now, and they've got a 60% or so win ratio when they're away. Like, that's not bad, especially for Jacksonville, who tends to kind of suffer on the road in years past. Seems like we're seeing a new iteration of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm really excited to see where they go. Now, they need to stop getting hurt and stop giving up penalties and stop letting Trevor Lawrence get sacked. They can pull those three things off, or at least two of those three, then they'll have a pretty solid team going into, you know, the postseason. And, I mean, they're currently, I think they're in the running for a wild card spot right now at the playoffs. I really would love to see them in the playoffs again. Win, lose, or draw, I'd love to just see them go, because they want to kind of shut up a lot of the haters about them. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that they're, like, a world-beating team right now, but I think they've got enough chops to get in there, mix up a little bit, and give people some hell in the playoffs. So I'd love to see that. And then last but not least, tomorrow, our Chicago Bears, I'm going to say our Chicago Bears, are going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, this one's a tough one. This is a tough game to call, because I want to say that it's going to be better than it's going to be. I just don't know that it will be. I got a bad feeling about this one. I've got a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach. It's not Thursday, it's Friday, I'm sorry. Friday, it's going to be the Bears and the Eagles. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it just in hopes that I'm wrong. I think Philly might get them this time. Philly's going to be hosting, and they are pretty hard to beat at home. And then the Bears are away, and they're not horrible when they're away. Their 4-2 record when their away games are up, but I'm going to say I want my Bears to win. I do. But I don't know, if I were a betting man, I would probably bet against the Bears just this once. I just don't know. I don't know. I haven't watched enough of the Eagles to really be solid. I want to say it's Chicago. Something in my gut's telling me it's probably going to be Philly. I really want to be wrong. So, I mean, just hold me to it. Those are my picks for this coming week. And, that's about all I got for this one. This is kind of a short one, I guess, comparatively speaking. Most of my podcasts run pretty long. I think the only other thing I was thinking of was, I have a question. I guess I throw a question to you guys. Two, maybe. One, I have like some decent chef knives here at the house. But I really want this, I think it's called a kaidao. It's like a saidao. It's like a squared off Chinese kind of like utilitarian knife. It almost looks like a rectangle with a little, you know, handle sticking off of it. But I see people use this thing in movies and television shows and, you know, in actual kitchens. And I really, really want one. But problem is they're ridiculously expensive. So I'm looking around for places to get one. There's also another kind of knife that's called a nakiri knife. It's more of like a vegetable knife. But I saw one of those. I'm like, that looks more affordable, but it also looks a little bit more utilitarian. Not quite as broad as a kaidao, but still kind of cool. All this chopping stuff up and, you know, prepping stuff for the holidays got me thinking about some of the cutlery in the house now. It's a weird thing to think about. It's like, you know, I could do with another knife or like a new knife set. Like, I'd love to go and get like a full-blown knife set. And I might look at something like that, like a Chinese inspired or a Chinese, like a really, you know, handcrafted by Chinese craftsmen, artists, like not even artisan, but just like a utilitarian kind of knife set. I don't need anything to look flashy. I just need to do the job and last forever. That's just one of the things. What do you have? I know everybody says they have a favorite burner on their stove, right? Do you have a favorite knife in your collection of stuff at the crib? I wonder if that's a thing that maybe it's just me. I think I have a favorite knife. And it's like this Zwilling knife that we've had for a while. And I love that thing. But yeah, I think that might be my favorite knife that I've ever owned. And I really like that one. But I'm not sure. Who knows? If I get one of these other fancy chef knives, though, it might lose. You never know. But yeah, that was it. And also, I know that people are starting to walk away from Xbox, which is fine by me. I don't care. I don't own any stock. You know what I mean? Heck, I got no skin in the game when it comes to that. But I watched their partner preview this past week. Bro, we have got to start supporting other developers to make different games that aren't just horror games. Like 70% of the stuff I saw was horror games and roguelikes. Can we please walk away from the roguelike thing for a couple years just to give it some breathing room? Everything has to be a randomly generated enemy encounters, you know, procedurally created dungeons, and everything has to have a horror bent to it. Like, dude, what? I know the world is terrible, but can we make our games at least kind of fun sometimes? Jeez. I can't wait for Animal Crossing's new DLC to drop this January. I think we need that. I think we need a little bit of whimsy and hope. You know what I mean? So let's try to inject some of that into our gaming, inject some of that into this holiday season, and inject it into your own lives, man. Not drugs, but just a little bit of joy, a little bit of hope, a little bit of peace, a little bit of grace. I think it'll go a very, very long way for us. Not just this holiday season, but in all the days to come. I'd like to wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving. In the spirit in which I mentioned it earlier, be grateful for the people in your life, the life that you have, and the ability to listen to podcasts that hopefully stave off some of the boredom when you're making a road trip to go and visit with family. All right, everybody, I'm out of here. I'm Link Flores. You guys have been amazing as always. Keep up all the stuff. Like I said, check me out on all the things. The links are in the description. Hit the Patreon. Send me a message. Let me know what you think. If you just want to say happy holidays, that'd be dope. I'm totally down with that. Check out the streams if and when they come. Like I said, I'm not sure if I'll be able to get to it tonight, but if I do, hooray. If not, maybe Friday. We'll see. Just like I said, be safe out there. Be smart. Don't blow your weight loss goals for the year and have to make brand new ones in January. But enjoy. And I'll catch you guys next time a little further on down the road. Peace.